Okay, so Perichet in Daniel. So yes, we are back in Hebrew, and we talked last week about why the unit closed where it did. But here we get, I know I say this every Perichet in Daniel, but it may get even weirder in Perichet of Daniel. Another vision. This time it's another one of Daniel's visions, and another one where he doesn't understand, and he needs interpretation, and there's more wild animals, and more predictions of the future. So all those things that make Daniel the wonderfully confusing book that it is.
I saw a Gemara that said that all the Nevi'im only spoke on Mashiach, and that's it. Like, they only talked about Mashiach.
Correct, they don't talk about Yom HaMashiach. I mean, they don't talk beyond, that's what it means.
Oh, that's what it means.
Okay. You mean they can't predict Olam Haba.
Oh.
Or that's the...
I see.
Yeah, that's what it means. Okay. So, back to Hebrew, Baruch Hashem. Bishnat Shalosh L'malchut Belshazzar HaMelech. And remember, we've talked about the fact this is not chronological. So now we're back in the period of Belshazzar. And we'll see that this makes sense. Because what do we know about the period of Belshazzar?
He didn't respect Daniel, he didn't...
Correct, but and what was the story that we know from Belshazzar?
The writing on the wall.
And the writing on the wall, remember that... You don't remember the writing on the wall?
I missed it.
Oh, yeah,
you missed that. Okay, so Belshazzar has a suda with the Kalim and the Bnei Mikdash, and in the middle of it, a hand comes out of heaven and writes on the wall, tickle, tickle, mano, parson. And he totally freaks out, doesn't know what's going on, calls in Daniel... And Daniel says, I know what this is. You are a terrible human being, and your kingdom is about to end right now. And he dies that night, and the next kingdom takes over. Right? This is the...
Right, this is... He's Babylonian.
Yes, Belshazzar. And then he's taken... But he's overthrown by the Persians.
But
and according to Daniel, that night...
It's,
what?
It's weird. It says, like, that Dariavish succeeded him, like...
Correct. Very...
Wait, is Dariavish right? Isn't Cyrus before
Dariavish? Yeah, very unclear what's going on. But yeah. Persia takes over from him. It's unclear. But in the middle of Belshazzar, so we know that this is when there start to be these visions about the future, but so contemporaneous to this Belshazzar thing, when the hand comes out of heaven and writes on the wall, right, Daniel has a vision about Mashiach, and that is Perek Ched. So this is contemporaneous with that. My second vision came to me after that one that we talked about last week, or 2 weeks ago. Now I got another one.
What year of his reign did the writing on the wall?
Four, right? Because he finished in four. I think it was four.
Vareh
b'chazon, v'hi b'roti v'ani b'shushan ha'bira, asher b'elam ha'medina, vareh b'chazon aniti al uval ulai. I saw myself, I was in Shushan, in the capital, or the way they translate here, the fortress, and I am on the river Ulai. Okay, that's where I am. Okay. Vaisa einai varev hine ayel echad omed lifnei ha'uval velo kranayim v'karnayim gvahot v'achad gvoha min hashinit v'gvoha ola b'achrona. So I saw a ram. Now here is already strange because we're going to have an attack ram, an attack goat. They're usually docile animals, right? They're domesticated animals. But until now we've had like wild animals, lions and bears and tigers, oh my, right, whatever. Here we don't. We have scary...
Domesticated
animals. What?
That was on purpose?
Yes.
Lions and tigers. Okay.
Yeah. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, yeah. Yes. Yes, we have all seen that movie. We have all seen it. It's one of the classics of all time, okay? Everyone has seen that movie. And if you think you... And if you
that would be something that you would say even without the reference.
What, lions and tigers and bears, oh my?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, I routinely say, oh my! Good heavens, right? Yeah, that's exactly how I talk.
So we see you, yeah.
Exactly. So he said, we're going to have these wild domesticated animals. Now they are admittedly mid-level domesticated animals. They have an aggressive side to them, but still it's a little bit strange. So I saw a ram with two horns. They were high, but one was higher than the other. Okay, that's what we got going here. We got two horns, but, and as we'll see, these refer to different kingdoms, as in everywhere else. So the ram is budding westward, northward, southward, and no beast could withstand him, right? The super ram.
Great.
And he did as he pleased and grew great. Va'ani hayiti mevin. V'nei tzvir ha'izim b'amin ha'maravo p'nechal aretz v'ein nogeh b'aretz v'atzafir keren chazut b'neinav. And then as I was looking, a he-goat came from the west, passing over the entire earth without touching the ground. So it's a flying goat. Okay, so we have a vicious ram and a flying goat. And the goat has a conspicuous horn on its head, right? Keren chazut, right? Very seeable. Okay? Not surprisingly, this is the vision where, again, you have to have the... and again, all the mafarshim, we'll, at the end, we'll come back. What does this dream mean? But let's get through it. But this is a theme, right? Again, Daniel has these themes that come over and over again. And this is going to be, even more than the mana mana tikkalu parson, this is the source for the predictions of Mashiach. So this goat charges the ram that I had seen at the river. So I saw him reach the ram and rage at him. He struck the ram, broke its two horns. The ram was powerless, and he threw him to the ground and trampled him. Right? The three billy goats gruff, right? Like, picks him up, throws him in the ground, and there was no one to deliver the ram from his power.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yes.
Great. Utsvir ha'izim, gewalt. Utsvir ha'izim igdil ad me'od. Uche'atzbo nishbira ha'keren ha'gdola. V'atalena chazud arba tachteh l'arba ruchot ha'shamayim. And then the he-goat grows very great. But at the peak of his power, his big horn was broken. Right, this is a theme. This horn being broken and horns growing in its place. The last time it was three horns. Now it's four horns grow. And they sprout towards the four winds of the heaven. Okay? Umina achat mehem yatzakeren achat mitzi'ira vatigdal yeter l'hanegev l'mizrach v'latzvi. And then out of one of the horns, another horn grew out itself, which itself went towards the south, the east, and towards the beautiful land, which is probably Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So one horn breaks into four horns, and then one of those horns has a horn that builds on the horn, which goes south, east, and Israel.
Great.
South,
yes.
East, and Israel.
Yes. Vatigdal atzva hashamayim. Vatabil artzim and atzvam gulvim vatirim sem. And then it gets worse, because that horn grew up to the stars. And then it took some of the stars and threw the stars down to the ground and trampled them.
Uh-huh.
Right, this is where the Mepharshim like start going, oh, that's Gavriel, right? That's some angel or something. I don't know what's going on. Represents some angel or something. Right, it's Gavriel, grew up to Michael or something. And then it went against the chief of the host, and on account of the Tamid Karban, which was suspended, and the holy place was abandoned. An army was arrayed iniquitously against the Karban Tamid, and it hurled truth to the ground and prospered in what it did. Now the Midrash is a beautiful Midrash, and this has nothing to do with Daniel, but it's a beautiful Midrash. You know what the Midrash says in this Pasuk?
No.
That when Hashem wanted to create the world, you've never heard this. Shalom and Emet, right, start arguing with God. Should you create man or not? And Shalom said, sure. And Emet said, no, you can't create man because man is kulo sheker. So what did God do? He took truth and shoved him down and threw him to the ground, like, you know, Lucifer in the Christian versions of it. Right? He threw him down to the ground and now said, from now on, Emet me'eretz tismach. Right? Truth will now grow from the ground, but you don't get to be in heaven because you're trying to stop me from making man. Go. Goodbye.
Huh. Wait, what's this Midrash called? Where do you find it?
Batishlech Emet Artsa. It appears in several Midrashic traditions. I think it's in Bereshit Rabbah. It might be in Tanchuma. Several of the midrashim. Anyways, v'tzavati natena latamid befasha v'tzlechem et arta. I did that. V'eshma echad kadosh. Now at this point, obviously Daniel is like, God, I'm so confused. But this time he doesn't have to ask. Right? Last one he had to actually ask what's going on. This time the malach offers. V'eshma echad kadosh midaber. I heard a holy one speaking. V'yomer echad kadosh lepalmonia midaber. Ad matay echazon atamid v'ape... Besha Shomeim Tet Vikodesh Vitzava Mirmas. How long, he said, whoever was talking to, how long will this vision last? The regular offering be forsaken because of transgression, the sanctuary be surrendered, and the heavenly host be trampled. I mean, how long is this going to go on? That the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, there's no carbon tumid and all that. And he said, right, it's meaning how long is this galut going on? And now he tells him, aha! Vayomer Eli at Erev Boker Al Paim Shlosh Meot Vinixak Dodesh. 2300 evenings and mornings, and then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. That is what this means. Vahi Beroti Ani Daniel Chazon Vakshav Vina Vine Omele Nagdi Kamare Gever. Gaver, sorry. Daniel, I was standing and I was seeing the vision, I was trying to understand it, and then one appeared to me who looked like a man. Right? Some sort of angel. Because I wanted to understand what was going on, and I was completely lost. So he was watching me, he was standing next to me. Either a malach, if you look in Yosef ibn Yahya, he says it's God himself, don't ask me. Vaishma kol adam bein ulai. Vayikra vayomar Gavriel havein lahalazet hamareh. So this human voice coming from this being calls to Gavriel and says, Gavriel, explain the vision to this man.
I hope it's not God's human voice.
Well, that is in fact what Ibn Jahya says.
It's a vision. Happens.
Yes, exactly. This happens all the time. This is my dreams.
Could be a stronger power.
Look, in Rashi notes it in one midrash, it's Yitzchak. Why Yitzchak? I don't know. Okay, I have no idea. Okay.
Is this actual Rashi? Or
is that Rashi? Yeah, that's Rashi. So, Vayavo Eitzel Omdi, Ubuvo Nivati, Vayaplal Panai, Vayomra Eli, Havein Ben Adam Kila Eit Ketzel Chazon. He came to me and I was terrified and fell down on my face. Right, this is like the classic thing in the right in Tanakh. When you are overwhelmed by a vision, you'd fall on your face because you can't process it. And this is part of the where people don't think that, you know, it's real. Chazal don't think it's like full nevuah because he's, right, he's just
overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed by these admittedly completely bizarre visions.
I think everyone would be. Everyone.
It's like every night he has dreams like this. You're like, you know, what are you taking before you go to sleep? It's like, I mean, it's crazy. It's just, I don't know how he survives this. Like, Daniel has the most insane dreams. Like, this is the, you know.
How does he know that there's, like, something to learn from them?
I don't know. Because they're prophetic or something. And he says, aha! This is the end of time. That is what you saw. Uvidabro ime near damti al panai artsav egapi vamdeni alamdi. At that point, I fell asleep while I was on the floor.
You fell asleep in the sleep?
Oh, no.
Yes. I was overwhelmed on the floor, and then I fell asleep. Right?
Inception.
Exactly. It's inception. Right. That's what this is, right? Yeah. I fell asleep in the dream, in a deep sleep. But, this is classic, right? It's like, you know, it's like people, oh, I'm just putting my head down. It's too complicated. And then just falls asleep. So he touches me and stands me up. I will tell you what happened at the end of wrath. For it refers to a time appointed for the end. The two-horned ram are Media and Persia. Right? Vatsvir atzair melech yavan. The goat is the king of Greece. And according to most Mepharshim, as we'll see, which king of Greece?
The first one, Alexander.
Thank you. Alexander the Great. Who else? V'akeren hagdola asher bein avhu melech rishon. The horn is the first king. V'nishbered v'tamon arba tachtea, arba malchiyot, migoy yamon v'lo begocho. And the broken one that comes from the four are the four kingdoms that will come out of his nation but without the power of the first one, which is what happened to Alexander.
Isn't that
one? Right, Alexander broke into four kingdoms.
Isn't that one of the modern commentaries of how they explain the first.
Why do you think these are all connected, right? They're all reading it in light of itself.
Uh-huh.
At the end of that kingdom, there will be an impudent king who is versed in, they say versed in intrigue, meaning he understands secrets and riddles.
Yeah.
He will have strength, but not through his own strength. No. And now I really know what's going on, right? He will be extraordinarily destructive, prosper what he does, and destroy the mighty and the people of the holy ones. By his cunning, he will use deceit successfully. He will make great plans, will destroy many, taking them unaware, rise up against the chief of chiefs, but will be broken, but not by human hands. And that vision about mornings and nights is true, but keep it a secret, for it pertains to far off days.
Right.
He said, I was sick and languished for many days. I was completely overwhelmed and bedridden. Eventually I got up to do my work in the kings, but I was dismayed by the vision and no one could explain it. And again, this is the irony of the whole book of Daniel. He can explain everyone else's dreams, but his dream, even when the Malach explains it to him, he's like, I don't know what's happening. I am so confused. Right?
This is easy for us to like understand it. Why can't he just be like, all right?
I don't know. If I had this dream, I'd just be like...
Well, like, he might understand what's going on, but he doesn't understand what it means.
No, he understands. I mean, he was just told what it means.
I don't know.
What does it mean?
Do you have any idea in your mind right now?
Now, Rav Meidan notes that in Yechezkel, the ram and the goat are slightly more...
But if you live before that...
Violent. Okay, let's try to figure out what this refers to. So, again, I'm going to take the summary from Meidan because he went through all the work. But we talked a little bit about it with the takal takal, mamana mana tikalo parsin. Let's do it again. So here we go. The ram is clearly... So the he-goat is clearly... The ram is the Persians that we know, right?
Gabriel said
right?
That.
What?
Gabriel said that.
He said it's Madayu Paras.
Right.
And we know that the goat is Greece. Right. So, and that's probably Alexander's Macedonia, Greece. And in general, this is what we know, that Persia had huge forces and huge quantities of weapons, but it was a bit slow, right? Because it was so big. And Alexander was... not right here.
No, it's here.
But Alexander was known for his speed and flexibility and ability to adapt.
Right.
That's why he was such a good warrior. So he's this quick, he's small, but... powerful.
There's no bureaucracy.
No, right. He just... and why is it divided into four? Because that's what happened after Alexander died. It was divided into two main heirs, Ptolemy and Seleucus.
Seleucus.
The Seleucid guy. And also, the two minor ones were Philip and Antigonus.
Oh, it would have been Seleucus.
Seleucus, whatever it is.
Nice.
Okay, so how do you understand this? So Rashi views this chapter as being about the Roman Empire, primarily, right? Like, the beginning is Persia and Greece, and the rest of it is about Rome, right? Just like we had in the other ones, where Rashi thinks that if we're talking about Mashiach, then we must be talking about Rome, which goes till the time of Mashiach, and therefore Rashi interprets the rest of it after you get this to be about... Right, that after this, right, that's what he writes, that after Alexander, so then there will be the Arba Malchiot, right? It's Persia, right? Persia, Madai, Yavan, and then the end of it, we move on to Rome, just like we learned above, right? He reads and interprets, we have three out of four from the previous prophecies.
Yeah.
And therefore he says, and the one at the end, right, this Mashiach will be at the end of the Roman Empire. At the end of the Roman Empire. But Ibn Ezra... assumes, and the Ralbag and the Barbanel say no. It ends with the Greek Empire. This vision doesn't have the four kingdoms, it has three. It's just talking about, it's talking about Modai Parasan and Yavan, what it says in the Pasuk. Right, you don't read in the four, like Rashi does at the end. It's just them. Yeah. But what does it mean? So we get this very strange vision. Whenever the end of this galut is, it will be 2,300 evenings and mornings.
How many
okay. Good. So here's the interpretations. Okay. Rasajagon. Rashi quotes Rasajagon. So Rashi quotes from Rasajagon that Rasajagon said X, but that date has already passed. But we know that this nevoah is true. And he says, so someone else will calculate. Meaning, everyone, you're not supposed to calculate, but you will calculate as long as we don't put all our faith in that. We maintain our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just read you Rashi inside. Right? Rashi says, second, he says, right? He says, oh, this is the Matsu. That's not what I want. I want Rashi. There we go. Ra'iti Peter b'shem Rasajja. Right, I saw this interpretation of Rasajja going. It already passed. But he says, Habay Acharov Yatur V'Yadosh. Other people can come up with their own. Derechegishtor Erva Voker. Right, as long as you rely on God, you know. Now, so what years? How did they do it? So let me go through it. So Rasajja going did it as follows. So 2,300 mornings and evenings is 2,300 years. Where Rasajagon assumed was from the Zman of Yitziat Mitzrayim, because in Zechariah it says about right, that there was Vahaya Yom Echad Uyivadal Adonai Lo Yom Lo Laila Vavale Erev Ye'or. So he says, so Yitziat Mitzrayim is 2448, so 2300 years later is 4748, so 988 CE. Which is 46 years after the death of Rasajagon. Mashiach didn't come by that. Then Rashi is born 52 years later, so he does his own calculation. So Rashi has a much more complicated calculation, and he has three prongs to his interpretation. They go like this. He starts at 210 years before Yitziat Mitzrayim, in the year 2238 from creation.
I mean, like Yitzchak being born, kind of thing.
Meaning before the 210 years when they go down to Mitzrayim. Meaning before
they started going.
Right, when they went down to Egypt rather than they come out. Right? So that's 2238 from creation. Then he adds 2300 years plus the gematria of Erev Boker, which is 272 plus Boker is 4, 5, what is it? Another 500 and some odd. Right? What? Erev Voker is another. Wait, Rashi is.
Voker
is
502.
What?
Voker is 502.
And Erev. Wait, no. No, it's 302. Voker.
With a
Vav. I don't even know which one he's doing. With a Vav. Sorry, he has it with a Vav. So for him, it is. I'll just look at it. It's 308 plus another 272. So he adds that together, and that he then brings him to the year 5,112, which is the and then he adds 45 more years based on the midrash of that 45 years will be cut off before Mashiach will come. We bring him to 5,157, which is 1397 on the Gregorian calendar, which is 6 years after the massacres of the Jews in Spain and the conversion to follow the beginning of that period. That's his number. He also gets to the same number as follows. Okay. From the... one second. He says, since it says from what the time when the Tumid is stopped being brought, so he goes 2,300 years from when the end of Churban Bayit Sheni... but 6 years before that, because the Karban Tumim was stopped being brought 6 years before Churban HaBayit, which according to Salem Olam, the destruction is 3828. 6 years earlier is 3822. If you add 1290, you arrive at 5112, which is again at 50, plus the 45, which is again 5157, plus, based on what we saw of Tikkun of Manamet Tikkun LeParsin, right? He says a time and a time and a time and a half. Remember that one? Mm. It means 1,335 years later, plus 1 year, which 1,330, no, plus the gematria of Haster Astir, which is another 1,336, plus, oh God, plus 480 years from after the, we get to 1,335, okay? 1,397, that's how we get to it, okay? Rav Avram Barchia Hanasi, I'm going to go through this very quickly, okay? He says if you add 2,300 years from the time of Shmuel, so...
Why?
What?
Why?
Oh, sorry. So, Rav Avram Barchia, Ralbag, and Rabbanim, the same calculation, except they add it either from the time of Shmuel, the time of David, or the building of the first Beis Hamikdash, respectively. Ramban. Which brings you to 5170, 5198, or 5228, which is all within the 15th century of the Gregorian calendar. The Abarbanel doesn't like this because by the time he comes to the scene, we've passed all three dates. So he comes up with his own calculation where he adds 2,300 years from the death of King Shlomo, which is 1504, which is 12 years after the expulsion of Spain, which, shockingly, Mashiach didn't come then either.
Side note, the Gemara says you are not allowed to calculate.
Yes, we know.
Yep.
Okay?
Everyone just...
Wait, how do they get past that?
Then Malbim...
They all, by the way, they all say, even though you're not allowed...
Correct. Now,
it's not even like they did it private.
Yeah, I know.
Then,
the Malbim adds 2,300 years to the vision of Daniel, which gets him to 1928 and 1929, where shockingly Mashiach didn't come then either.
Israel. When's the next time Mashiach's supposed to
come? Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
But then he has an alternative calculation to count it 15 years earlier than that, which brings you to 1913, 1914.
Does anyone have a...
Yeah, though Rav Kook... Wait. Rav Kook...
No, Rav Kook didn't do it.
Yes, he did.
Oh, God.
Of course he did it. He's like the first guy to do it.
1 second.
First guy with...
The last guy.
No, sorry. No, he doesn't do the calculation, but in the same time as the Malbim basically predicts it, he comes with the following calculation, where he notes, Rav Kook said in the beginning of World War I that this was the four kingdoms of Daniel, which is only a few years after the Malbim's prediction, right? Because the four kingdoms, the Russians, the Prussians, the Austro-Hungary, and the Ottomans, he said, oh, this is the fulfillment of Daniel, they're about to fall. Right? He saw this as... And they did, and he said that out of the fall of four kingdoms will emerge the state of Israel, and then you had the Balfour Declaration, right, only a few years later. So this coalesces into Rav Kook's view of the world that Pachor Yoter, when the Malbim predicted the end of time, the Balfour Declaration and the beginning of Zionism arrives.
I don't know
to tell you.
I hear.
It's does
possible?
It satisfy everything else in our literature about what Mashiach will look like?
I don't know. Now, Rav Meidan, Kedarko Bakodesh here, says, I give up, and says, he says, okay, I'm going to try something different, and he says, I think that maybe, like the Hava Amin of Ibn Ezra, 2,300 days and nights sounds like 2,300 days and nights, which is several years, not whatever you do. And therefore, he thinks that the vision is 2,300 days from when the Tamid stopped being born. And Kedarko, he thinks that all the visions of Daniel focus only on the proximate future, up to the Greek period. And he says this Nevuah is therefore not about the distant future, Rav Meidan. Right? This is shot in every parak. We've done this.
Yeah.
This is all about the period of the Chashmonaim.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And he basically goes through, if you have the number of leap years, and you figure out approximate number of days in the years. So basically, you get about 2,300 karbanot should have been brought during the years that the Greeks seized the Beit HaMikdash, 3 years or so. They didn't have the Beit HaMikdash, so there were about 3 years worth of karbanot, which is 2,300 days and nights. I mean, 2,300, yeah. Not karbanot, right? 2,300 tamids, which is about half of that, right? 2,300 tamids. And he said, in the time of the Chashmonaim, there were about 3 years where the Greeks owned the Beit HaMikdash, and then they're kicked out by the Jews. And he says, if you follow the pshat that he's been saying the whole time, that all the visions are about the Geula and things that happen in the Greek period, This is just a prediction that there would be 3 years in which the Greeks would control the Beit HaMikdash and then be kicked out, Mikach Shamayim, by the Jews. And that's how he wants to understand.
Didn't the Gra also have a date?
Everyone had a date, right? The Rambam also had a date, but the Rambam is the only one who has a date which has nothing to do with this and has to do with the prophecy of Bilam. And based on that, the Rambam came up with a...
Oh my God, what does he say?
How did you pull that one off?
So, it goes like this.
Was it?
It was... He understood Bilam's creation to mean that the Bilam's Nevuah is in the 30th year of the Mitzrayim. And then, in an equal number of years since the creation of the world to that point, there would be Geula. So in the year 4972, there would be Geula, which is 1212, which is...
Very significant.
Now, Rav Meidad notes the only significant thing we know that happened in 1212 was the Aliyah of the 300 Baliyat Tosfot to Eretz Yisrael.
Very ironic.
Right? Now, the only thing that I would note is, look, I really don't know what to do with any of this, and I remember, I told you, the first time I heard this was in a lecture by Dr. Berger, literally going through every position in the Rishonim, because his expertise is Jewish-Christian polemics, and just going through all of this, and it's nightmarish. The only thing I'd point out is there's this possibility that... these prophecies are intentionally ambiguous and that they mean different things, right? Like, they have multiple levels to them, and maybe it's true, right? Maybe one level of the end of this is World War I. I don't know, right? Maybe one level it is a certain geula that came in 1212 when the first round of people were ole, right? After many hundreds of years of not being mass aliyot, there was this movement of baliatos. Is it possible that all these are possibilities, right? Like, God embedded ambiguity into the Nevuah, and it can manifest itself in different ways, and did. It's possible. I don't know, right? For all I know, this is meant to predict multiple things, and the final meaning is either not set, right? It depends on our actions, or it means multiple the same thing. I have no idea. But I hope I've totally confused you by giving you several... this is one of those prakim where you're less like, okay.
Could it be that we just, like, weren't worthy of Mashiach?
That's what I'm saying. It could be that these are all possibilities. The ambiguity is intentional. That there are different ways that it could happen.
Well, why, like, predicted it all, though, if that's the case?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Everyone likes
now. But I don't know.
Like, first, why would Daniel even get a Nevuah about it?
I don't know, because maybe there's something to be said. Hope. They provided hope. Look, the reason that De Barbanel had several is because he would keep doing it. Oh, Mashiach's coming in a few years. Oh, that didn't work. It's coming soon. I know we've been through Gehenna, but Mashiach is almost here. I promise you. There is a hope.
Been through this in years, but I remember they're all very careful about it.
They all say, Rashi says, you can do the calculations, but remember, don't depend on the calculations, depend on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're not saying this, but clearly it gives people hope if you put a date, even if, look, it's no different than nowadays when you hear people saying, oh, Mashiach has to come by the year 6000, because the Gemara says, Alpayim Tohu, Alpayim Torah, Alpayim Yimono Mashiach, by the year 6000 Mashiach must be here, right, based on that Gemara, because they don't want to say that it could go on forever, right?
Yeah.
Right. They want to say. All that. People have this desire, understandably so, to say Mashiach is on his way. We're in the Messianic era. And at some point, someone will be right.
Yeah.
At some point.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, as they say.
At some point, Mashiach will come, and therefore, it will come. You will know what it means when it's happened. That's really what it is, right? You will know what it means once it's happened. Okay, are you totally confused? Good, I am. So let's finish with that.